Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. I see a few new faces. I hope we get a chance to get acquainted through the week. And as you said, we've been in Pachuca for, 7 years now. Susan and I have been in Mexico for 29 years in different cities. And so we're the old timers now. Maybe I won't have to answer many questions. I've had trouble getting my knees back under me. I've had cartilage out and had surgery in September to straighten the leg and things, and I've rejected the implant, and I'm rejecting the steel plate. So it's been a time of laying around and limping, but hopefully in October they'll be able to take out that titanium plate, and then I'll be back close to normal maybe. My basketball days are probably over, and that hurts almost as much as my framing days being over. But hopefully then in the two other times that I get a chance to speak here, we'll be talking about the framing. So that's what I've done the last 6-8 months is reminisce. Since I can't do anything productive, I reminisce of the old days. And so my message is, and this is the disclaimer, my message is going to be talking about the old days. And But hopefully we can point to the future. Thing I want to talk to you about this morning, if you want to met a title, I got a couple, then what is take it to the next level, or God has expectations. And I think one of the biggest disservices of modern Christianity today is that they've painted a God that doesn't have expectations. You have a God that put out a tremendous investment. You know, he took 7 days out of eternity, if you count the day he rested, and put everything that we know into existence. And then sent his own son to die on the cross for us. Amen. To redeem us from the sin that we marched into. And then he prepared us and taught us and civilized us, all these things that make us Christians. And then modern Christianity says, well, he's a conformist. He'll accept whatever you decide to give. They've almost made him a beggar standing up there and would you please come to me? Well, reading my Bible, it says that God's commanded all men everywhere to repent. It's a command.
Right.
And the Ten Commandments are commandments, not suggestions. He expects something from us. The purpose of creation was mankind. And mankind has a responsibility to his creator.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Much more to his savior. And so this morning I'd like to just take a few points that shows us how we can take the next level. The Bible speaks of in two different, trying to say it in Spanish. It's going to be difficult. I usually need a couple weeks to get reacclimated to English. I worked so hard to say anything in Spanish that English is now my second language. But the Bible speaks in two different ramas, two different branches. And one is how we get saved. Salvation is by grace.
Amen.
Faith in what Jesus Christ has said and what he has done. It's faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And you have this big debate, and we're having it all the time in Pachuca. There's a whole bunch of people that say they're saved by their works there, and we run into them and say, oh yes, I'm Christian, I believe in the Lord. And you start to drill them because you know that they're believing that their salvation depended on what they did. And know what Jesus Christ did. And just to make it just as clear as I can, we are saved because of what Christ did, not because of what we did, or what we can do, or what we have to offer. But then there's the other side of the Bible, and more of it's written to this point, is the responsibility once you are saved. And Christianity today have mixed the two and come up with something that's completely wrong. We're saved by grace, but we are saved unto good works.
Yeah,
we're saved to be a productive member of what he wants to do.
Amen.
We're not Our salvation is not the end of what God planned for us. It is the first step. And this morning I'd like to talk to the second step, or taking it to this next level. The first step is a selfish one. Who here didn't get saved because of your benefit? I didn't want to go to hell. I understood the condemnation. I understood the anger of God, and it made me wise. And I said, Lord, forgive me. Your first step is a selfish step. Well, praise the Lord. For self-perseverance, you accepted the Lord Jesus to be saved. But the Lord wants you to take another step. And that's what missions is all about. That's what evangelism is all about. That you say, I have what I wanted. Now, what about somebody else?
Yeah, amen. That's right.
And the second step is one of accepting God's command to us to go ye and preach the gospel. Amen. To doctrinate, to teach and make people understand that they can have that same salvation. The second step is sacrificing for others. It says Philippians, 1 Philippians 23:26, for I am in the strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. It's for me. I want to go be with Christ. I want to get out of this place. And I've had some moments this last year. I'm ready. Take me. I don't like this problem. I don't like getting old. It's not near as romantic as they paint it, you know. All that wisdom you're supposed to get just doesn't make up for the youth. It just doesn't make it. But nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, it says. So that's the step that this mission conference is all about. You've been saved, born again, praise the Lord. You've got your ticket to heaven, but take the next step. Go to the next level. It says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So I stay for you. That was Paul did. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. That's the step I want to talk to you about this morning. How do you take that step? What are the, and you'll see through this conference, I'm a pretty practical, I talk about the practicality of it. How do you do that? Theory is really nice, but if you don't put it in practice.
That's right.
The first thing, and a lot of these verses you all know, so I'm just quoting them or reading them. Do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. That assembling is for the benefit of the church.
That's right.
As well as yourself.
Right.
Do not forsake the assembling yourself together. Now that step requires a tremendous life change. Before we were saved, we had our plans and our activities and our things. And to take a part in this, and here it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And that is a complete life change. You got to change friends. You got to change the family. We have a situation in Mexico where when someone gets saved, their Sunday morning is the conflict. It is a big conflict. That is the day that the intramural sports play. And these people gather up Sunday mornings. They're there at 6 o'clock. They're stretching out on the wet grass and they're getting ready to go. They got some teams already playing. They got teams for the little kids and the teenagers. They got teams for the middle age and the old timers. They got teams for the women. And Sunday morning is it. And we've had several cases where they had to come to the point where they just say, I'm done with sports. That's a life change when you live for it. And then you got family. You got family members that don't understand this. They don't understand that you're going to take your day off and spend half of it in a place with a bunch of crazy people. We have a couple that got saved, and one of their big things was Sunday they met with the rest of the family out in the country in this ranch, and to drink and maybe cook something, and That was their Sunday, and now they're coming to the meeting. They finally told the family that we'll be there at 1:30. I'll go to our meeting, we'll come, and they show up at 1:30, and they're about half soused. And they got their eyes open. He says, that's what we looked like at 1:30 every Sunday. We're half drunk. And they're getting louder, and they're fighting against each other. And praise the Lord, they say, you know what? We're going to be with the God's people, and in the afternoon we'll spend time with our own family. It's a life change. There's hobbies that have to change. There's the whole life changes to make that decision.
Amen.
It's a sacrifice to do what God says.
Amen.
It takes it from that step of this is comfortable to me to what does God want me to do.
Right.
Another thing that's a real problem in Mexico is on time. They can be to the soccer match at 6 o'clock, but they can't be to the church meeting at 10 o'clock. We have a church in Mexico where a preacher showed up, an invited preacher showed up, and he's the only one there. They finally, a couple show up, and so they sing a whole bunch of songs waiting for somebody to get there so he could preach to them. And that's the custom of that place. And that's the battle we have with it. But God says, be there. We talked about it even yesterday. It came up about a brother we had in one church. The only time he was there on time is when his turn to preach the message. And I said, brother, don't you realize you're late every time but that time? Well, I can't be late then. I'm preaching. So you can show disrespect to the other brother by walking in the middle of his deal. He never learned. But that's one of the steps we can take to be a part of the next level. Another one is take care of visitors. We've been in Mexico for 20 years with the purpose of building a church that people get included. If you don't take the next step, next level, that's not real important. I'm here, I got my place, and I'm comfortable. When we're starting a church, I don't have a family to sit with. The other missionaries know what I'm talking about. You're out, you're dealing with these people, you're taking care of these ones. It's the most important part of keeping them in the church. Someone comes in that's new, get with them, stick to them. You're their buddy that day. You don't let them sit in the curb to the back and be a stranger on the back. And nor do you put him in the front so he gets the sprinkled blessing from the preacher. Put him in the middle of things. By the end of the meeting, he's sung with you and he's listening to the preaching and there's maybe been a comment or even through the very message. He says, you know what? I could be a part of this thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I fit. I've seen so many visitors that leave and think, I don't fit here. Why not? God expects, and that takes sacrifice on your part.
Yeah.
You got to think about somebody else.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Christianity is not selfishness.
That's right.
If it was, God would not have sent his son.
Yeah. Amen.
And we're here, the benefits of the salvation. And God expects us to take the same attitude. We're on this life as born again ambassadors of Christ to help others know Jesus Christ that they might spend eternity. But we're living for this day. And we say not. Oh no, now I live for eternity. But we don't act it. We don't live it. And we prove it in just these three areas. The next thing is the open meeting. That is such a blessing to understand that God expects everyone to edify someone else.
Amen.
I was brought up in a church where there was one voice, and he's the only one that spoke. When we decided to go to Mexico, I told the pastor of this little church where we were in Michigan that we were going to Mexico. He said, I want to invite you to meet. We're having a pastor's meeting of all the little churches in the area. And there was a bunch of them. He says, we're going to get together, six of us, and we're going to go over to the big city and have a meeting with these other pastors. So I got into the suburban with them, away we went. The whole ride was another pastor asking advice of his of the other pastors of the other churches, what to do with the song leader. This guy gets up. He's supposed to lead three songs and sit down. And he says, I'd like to read a verse. And he reads a verse that this song is taken from. And this guy's jealous. Literally. So what do I do with him? It's my job to read the verse. And by the time we decided to come, we had seen the open meeting. We'd been introduced to the doctrine. And it's a doctrine that we defend, that we are to have the opportunity to stand. Take that back. We don't teach you have an opportunity for sharing in the open meeting. I repeat, we do not teach you have the opportunity. We teach you have the responsibility.
That's right. Amen.
That's what it says. Yeah. Everyone has something.
Amen.
And if you're going to stay in selfishness, you'll never have the blessings, the crowns in heaven, from stepping into the second step. And that's doing what God commands us to do outside of ourselves, outside of what's comfortable. Oh, but I'm scared and I shake. There's a lot of scaredness. There's a lot of shaking in our open meetings. And most of those guys develop into preachers. You should see that the opportunity is the responsibility, and it's a chance to you be a living part of this church.
Amen.
You stand up, you come to the meeting, you should have something prepared, a verse and an intelligent comment on the thing. And stand up and say, this is what God blessed me with. And that's how the church grows.
That's right.
You can have the most eloquent, most trained voice standing before you, and you will not have the fullness of Jesus Christ. It takes the church. It says it's in the body of the church that we are that we are taught. It's through the church that we have the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the little bit that I give and that you give, and we work together in presenting Jesus Christ, that's when we know the fullness and the depth of Jesus Christ. The other comment on that in the meeting is the singing out. Sing out. The songs are not a filler. It's not just give people a chance to stretch. It's the praise unto Jesus Christ. It's praising our God. We should sing out. We come up to here. Susan and I have mentioned several times. And we hear the singing in the congregation. And we recognize the loudest voices. And they're usually the missionary kids. When we went to Mexico, it was us four little families trying to have a meeting. Only three could speak Spanish of the adults. And all the kids, they learned it right away. I don't know why it's so easy for them guys. They're dumb and everything else. I don't understand. You can't teach them to work, but they can learn the language. But we said, you're going to sing. But I don't feel like it doesn't matter. You're going to sing out. You're going to help carry this meeting. That's your cross to bear. And they learn to sing. And when we come up, we can hear it. I know that voice. I know that voice. Just sing out. Let God know that you're praising Him in the singing. The next thing would be the offerings. And I'm not talking about your reasonable contribution for the chair you have. I realize that you're designated seating, and us missionaries, we get a laugh out of it. We come up, and you've all got your assigned seat. Huh? And you walk up to your assigned seat, and there's a missionary sitting in it. Hey, we'll send you your money, we'll pray for you, but you can't have my assigned seat. It's the same way in Mexico. Susan and I get there. We're usually the first ones. We set up our chair in our place. Kelly and Marco, they show up, and their chair's in their place. We've got assigned seating there. And the new brothers that got saved, said, hey, come on up, we'll trade places with you. You set up in the front. No, that's all right, that's all right. Well, we're going to be gone for a little while. Most we've ever been out of Mexico since León. So when we go back, they will have moved up just by the empty space. Maybe not. Maybe there's a hole. I don't know. But we're going to make them go up. Yeah. Want them up in the front. Want them up there where it's. I don't like being in the back. I want to. If there's a blessing, I'd like to get it. You know, I don't want the first two or three rows to soak it up. But we're going to, anyway, that was all extra. I don't know what that's for. But you have a chair. You should give for the chair you sit in, for the air conditioning you suck up, the enjoyments you have of this building.
Amen.
You have pastors that are pastoring you.
Amen.
So I'm not talking about that, but we're talking about missionaries. We're talking about spreading the gospel. We're talking about evangelism.
Amen.
Apart from your responsibility to what you consume in this place, God expects you to support the evangelism.
Amen.
There's people that put out money to buy the tracts that are passed out in the ministries of this church. There's been a lot of newspaper evangelism that goes out. That costs a lot of money. Those are the kind of things that show that you are definitely taking it to the next level. Where your heart is, where your wallet is. And if you're not willing to support the evangelism, it just shows you're not willing to take the next step. God wants a cheerful giver. Amen. We're not here laying down demands of what you need to give, but God is. He expects it.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if the pastor's wail on you, you need to give more, you need to give more. God expects it.
That's right. Amen.
And so deal with what God wants. That'll be sufficient. And then the next thing is participate in church evangelism. In Mexico, we've helped start several churches, been involved, and we've watched a lot. And there's a process that we go through. And many of what I'm talking about is in that process. You start by coming to the meetings, and you start by sharing in them, and then you start by giving offerings. And the next step is usually be involved in the church evangelism. That's where you come and you support the ministry that the church is doing, whether the missionaries or the church as a whole. In Pachuca, once a month, Sunday meeting does not end, a Sunday morning meeting does not end until we finish evangelizing in the downtown park. We get done with our meeting about 12:30. Some people bring a torta, and I get a gordita and whatever, and then we go down to the main park, and we preach the gospel. The men preach, the women and the children pass out tracts, and a lot of the pictures on the board we brought back here show them evangelizing. Be a part of that.
Amen.
And we tell them, the meeting's not over till we're done evangelizing on that Sunday. And it's usually 3:30, 4 o'clock. And most of them stay.
Amen.
That's how you can step in. This church has a lot of evangelism.
Amen.
There's preaching in the street. There's old folks' homes. There's hospital ministries. I don't even know what you're doing. But I hear bits and pieces. These ministries are part that you should be involved in. This is a part of taking it from yourself and giving it to someone else. And then the last thing I wanted to mention was that one of the last phases of starting a church is that the men take it over, that the families take it over, that you're no longer supporting the church ministry, you're no longer supporting what the missionary is doing, but you start your own ministry. We were in a meeting of just the men. There was the three missionaries that are in Pachuca, plus the, I think there was five men. And one of the brothers is really into it. He's pretty sharp. He understands what's going on. And he says, you know what? You guys are going out preaching several times in a week, you know, sometimes twice a day and several times in a week. And we want to be a part of that. And how can we arrange our schedule so that one or two of us are with you at these times and support you so that we don't all show up the same time and you're alone? That sounds pretty admirable. And I looked at him, I said, but you understand, brother, that what we're working toward is that we support your ministry.
Yeah. Amen.
That it's your ministry, and we're just backing you up for a while. He said, wow, that changes everything. The discussion was over. A couple months later, two of the men came and said, we want to do our own ministry. We're going to start preaching. We're going to get together. We're going to preach in this colonia these two nights a week.
Amen.
It's our ministry. And if you want to come along, you can come along, but it's not dependent on you. You know, that's what it's all about. The Bible speaks of a vocation. You have a vocation. God has given you gifts and abilities and a vocation, something that you're to do. He expects that of you. Ephesians 4:1 says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ye are called.
Yeah.
You know, and there's so many times that we dismiss the calling to thinking that it's optional. It says you're called. That's what you're called to do. You've been given the gift. You've been saved and sanctified. You've been prepared for it. You're called. Walk ye worthy in that calling, in that vocation wherewith ye are called. Is there a ministry that God has for you? And we need to open our vision. There's a whole lot of ministries. One of the problems we've seen in Mexico is that with the concentration on evangelism, and the only way that you're serving the Lord is that you pack up your bags and go to another place and be a missionary. That we have a real need for pastors. There's places that got one pastor, and we don't think that's right. We said, no, they should have multiple elders. They should have several men that, and not depend on the wisdom or the fallacies of one man. And we see that as a biblical truth.
Amen.
And yet, because of the emphasis on missions and go and preach the gospel, what about feed the flock?
Yeah. Amen.
There's a lot of ministries that are being overlooked because emphasizing of one. And so I ask you to look, Lord, what is my vocation? What is I'm supposed to do this? Let's just put it down this year. What's my steps this year? He has a plan. And he expects. Our God is not a beggar. Our God's not got his hand out and hoping that you give what you want to. He expects. Ask Jonah what he thinks about the God who's willing to accept whatever you decide to do. What about Saul? God said, don't count the people. He counted the people. He lost his reign. At that moment, God told Samuel, go anoint the next king because this guy's done. He had expectations. He expected obedience. He expected something to be done in a certain way. And when he didn't, he says, you're done. The tragedy of all that, one of the most spiritual men that I see in the Bible is Jonathan. Spiritual man. He no longer can take his rightful place as king because of his father. I mean, that was a tragedy. And even in that, even when he knew he was replaced, he passed his priestly garments to David, his replacement. He protected him. That story just thrills me to see somebody that understood what God wanted and didn't fight against it.
Yeah, amen.
To his own death. Tremendous, tremendous example. These are the things that we are teaching in the church. These are the steps that we go through to bring the church to be on their own. How will this church prosper and grow if we don't take up what God has expected us to do? This mission conference, you're going to hear a lot of messages and a lot of things. People, but this is what the basis is. Coming out of one's first step of faith for yourself and taking that step of faith that I'm here to obey God and do his will and be the ambassador of God. That takes some effort. That takes some sacrifice. And we talk about it, the blessings of salvation. It doesn't compare with the blessings of knowing that you're doing God's will. The greatest joy we have is to watch these men that and their families standing out preaching in the street and carrying it on. It wouldn't have been possible if someone didn't sacrifice. There's some people that decided they'd go. There's some people that said they'd send and pray and support this over these years. What was there, Joe? And you said that there was, what, 600 people in León in the conference Sunday? Was there 600? Over 600 people that came to the meeting. I don't know why they came. It was Bill and preaching and Joe. But these are the ones that got saved that showed up in León. It's a marvelous thing.
Amen.
One of the least evangelized places in the world was the Bajío. And the gospel has been preached daily in the streets and the plazas. And why? Because we were complacent with our salvation? Or because we obeyed God and said, we'll take the next step.
Amen.
And that's where we are in this mission conference, brothers and sisters. Are you willing to take the next step? You willing to say, Lord, thank you for my salvation. I enjoy it. And now I want to be a servant for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.